Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Marathon Melodies. As you can probably tell, this episode has also been split into two parts, but they should both be up at the same time, so you can just roll on from this one into the next, or take a little break. Totally up to you. Unfortunately, due to some technical issues, the audio quality isn't great for these two parts, but nonetheless, this is one of my favorite episodes, and I really hope you guys enjoy it too. In this episode, we have been blessed with the presence of Mr. T. Callan. He is a wonderful human. He's an excellent singer, songwriter, and producer. And my oh my, I really think you're going to enjoy this episode. I certainly did. Please sit back and enjoy our rambles. Thank you so much. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time you're listening to this. My name is Kieran, and today we are joined by the woodland warrior, Mr. T. Callan. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing, Teague?
I'm good, Kieran. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. How have you been doing these last few days, these last weird few days where everything seems to change every single second?
Yeah, it's a very turbulent time, but I'm lucky enough to be just in my room at my parents' house from uni. And I'm just kind of, you know, we're all just sort of watching the world fall apart from our phones. it's been cool. I've had a couple of assignments for uni and just been messing around on the guitar, going for a few walks, trying to turn it into like a kind of productive time, but
yeah,
mostly just focusing on me, you know,
and
just
yeah,
drinking lots of tea and yeah.
I mean, if there was ever a time to focus on yourself, then I think lockdown has been that. I think it's been really healthy for a lot of people because you spend so long kind of wrapped up in this very consumerist kind of setup we've got going on. Now it's quite nice to just be like, huh, like, what does my life look like outside of social media and stuff? It's kind of cool, I find, at least.
It's a great time. And I think even though obviously having a lot of time with yourself and your thoughts is very difficult at the start, but I think everyone is gradually getting more and more adept at it. And like the amount of self-reflection you're forced to do, it just
absolutely
means that, like, if we're going to survive this, we've got to turn it into something positive. So I think everyone's working really hard on that. And yeah, it's cool. It's good to see.
Part one. Home.
EP just dropped recently, which was, I mean, how was that for you? That must have been a big deal.
I'm very proud of it overall. It definitely did come off just the general situation right now. I mean, looking back, I couldn't necessarily say whether or not I would have recorded an EP at the time I did if this pandemic hadn't happened, but as it stood, it's just loads of time indoors, a lot of time ignoring all this mounting uni work I had to do. And I was like, right, what can I actually do? What's something that I can just definitively have done? I've had a few new song ideas floating around in my head. And also someone that I sort of mutually follow on Instagram, this guy called Harkness, who's in the process of releasing a load of music that he's been working on for ages. He's great.
Shout out to Harkness.
Yeah, Harkness. He's cool. He's awesome. Check him out. And he just keeps saying, whenever I post anything on my Instagram feed that's like original music or whatever, he's always like, oh, is this gonna crop up on the EP then, or are you gonna release this?
Yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, sure, maybe. But yeah, so I just hit the point where I was like, yeah, I'm pretty much ready to do this. So I just went ahead. It's nice and easy. It's four songs and then just a little Buddhist chant in the middle.
I loved the Buddhist chant. It was a great sort of just like, I don't know, for me, I mean, I don't know how you'd want to classify your own music. I would probably say like kind of an acoustic feel, some kind of indie folk type beat. Whenever I listen to a kind of record in that sort of vein, it's very much like I'm immersed in this world and it's just kind of comfy, makes me want to get by a nice fire. And then the Buddhist chant came in and I was like, oh, hold on. Now something else is going on. But it was great.
I'm thinking now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that actually came from another podcast I've been listening to a lot recently.
Okay.
The Duncan Trussell Family Hour. I'm doing all this dropping here.
But, yeah, just shout everyone out.
He's got plenty of listeners. But if you want to check it out, it's cool because he's a really nice guy. And he just talks about, he gets people on and they talk for ages about like existentialism and psychedelics and stuff. And I'm way back in 2012 because he's recorded loads and loads of episodes.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, it's been going for a long time. Damn. But at that point anyway, he said part of his meditation was using this chant, Nam-myoho Renge Kyo. And I mean... I've always struggled with getting into meditation and I'm still not there really. Mm. But on occasion when things have maybe got too much or I need to like just settle down and try to focus myself in a bit, it's actually really useful to chant that, weirdly enough. Just chant that and like it's you can kind of draw focus to it as well in a way. You kind of just focus on your breath control in saying it, trying to keep it like a continuous feed. And there was just something about it. So I just thought it will be a nice kind of midway point in the EP. And it's also there to kind of, yeah, signify like a change in perspective, essentially, from the first two songs, which are a little bit more sad. And then the second two songs, which are more upbeat and they're more about kind of where I've been trying to be positive and yeah, facing things in a new light.
Yeah, well, I think my favorite track off the EP was Home, because to me, I love when I hear a piece of music for the first time and it already feels nostalgic. You know what I mean? It's like there's a real art to that where it's like, I don't know, it just so perfectly captures a feeling of reminiscence. And that's what I got from that. Because, you know, I'm walking around Falmouth and I'm like, I'm listening to this song. And I'm like, oh, my home, this is my home. It's always going to be my home. And that's a great feeling. And I was really interested if that played into it at all, if you were trying to capture that nostalgia feel of how you feel about your home.
Yes, yeah. I would have to say it's my favorite track of the EP as well. Mm-hmm. And that's because it's been around for the longest out of all the songs.
Okay.
It's been around for at least a year, if not a year and a half, maybe two. And yeah, there's definitely a nostalgia thing there. I think I was trying to capture a lot within the song, because I find when I write songs often, I'm talking about a very specific thing and I have a problem with painting a bigger picture. And with home, because home means so much to so many different people. And it's the same with me. So I was just kind of, and obviously being away from home at university and experiencing that like independence, but that kind of new interchangeable definition of home. It was like, yeah, just trying to kind of capture the essence of that, and just, yeah, try and manifest it into something positive, which for me is a song. So yeah, I mean, I definitely, obviously, because Falmouth is is my home. I had it in mind a great deal whilst I was writing the song. I think when I started, I was in Bristol when I wrote the lyrics, at least, because I was very, I was low at the point I wrote it. And so, yeah, we're all sort of looking for that kind of rock that grounds us, the place we feel most safe.
Definitely.
And that's what it's about. Yeah. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And it's great now that you have, because the guest I was talking to last episode, Kai, he said something really interesting to me, that he uses his own music to help him through rough patches. Like, he has other songs that he listens to, but his own content is the stuff that's most important to him. So now, you know, you've created your own way of thinking about your safe place. So it's, you know, you've given yourself a helping hand, which is really cool. Because so often it's easy to think about an artist creating something to try and reach as many people as possible. You know, someone makes a huge hit on the radio and, you know, they've got certain sounds they know is going to attract loads of people. But if you can make something that's just like meaningful and important, not just to you, but to other people who are going to listen to it, then I think that's great.
I think the truth of it is that the kind of more truthful you are, and the closer you look into yourself as an artist, the more people it reaches, really. And in the right way too. And I think it's a funny thing, because we've got a very set definition of like of pop. In a way, we've got a set of conventions, a set of tropes. Right now it's very kind of like overproduced and electronic and stuff. There's some great pop, but the point is, there's like great music comes out of this very generalized kind of definition, because what's popular, and the main thing that is about the genre, is that it's very true and it's very honest, and it's just got something about it that connects and hits home for a broad span of people, for most people, essentially.
And as well, it's interesting to see where these new trends and spikes in popularity come from. You know, it could come from, you know, nowadays, if it has a TikTok dance, it's going to do well, because that's, you know, that's where a huge percentage of the audience is going to come from. So, I mean, I'm interested to see what you think about, do you think an artist selling out in a way of like, okay, I know this is going to get a TikTok dance, is that damaging to their reputation, or is it a smart move?
You know, I don't really judge anyone for doing that. I think if you're an artist who can pull that sort of thing off, and that works with your kind of brand, and with your sound, I think fair enough. You know, I like a few Doja Cat tracks. I think she's rad.
She's great.
in her case, I don't think like Say So is an absolute jam, slaps, but
absolutely.
But like, so I don't think she's necessarily sold out there. But I guess I would reference, I don't know if you know him, there's a guy called Boz Scaggs, who did like a few big tracks in the 70s. Trying to think, what's it called? Lido Shuffle. He had a few number ones, basically, that were very kind of quite poppy for the time, and just very upbeat. But, you know, he had a few number ones. They weren't necessarily his best work. But then you look into his other albums and stuff, and he's a really good songwriter, and he's got something to offer. But it enabled him to continue creating in that way, and also for him just to have a nice life, because he lives on a vineyard now and
great
makes his own wine and stuff.
Wow,
ridiculously rich, you know. So like the whole selling out thing, I think it's interesting, and I don't think sellout music necessarily diminishes music as a whole now as much as it would in the past, because everyone, you know, we're more critical with it, and we kind of just, yeah, we go with our gut and we go with what we like. So when people do sell out songs, it's much more of a flash in the pan. And it's not like, oh my God, this is the best music and everyone should follow these exact conventions now. It doesn't do that so much because subculture is like mainstream culture now. So yeah, if I like, for instance, I don't think personally, well, we'll find out, but I don't think I could do like a sellout track, because I don't know, I just don't think I can, and not from a moral standpoint, because honestly, I'd love to have a number one.
He wouldn't,
like, yeah, and just live off that money,
yeah,
you know, live off the royalties, because yeah, like I say, it'll enable an artist to explore other things. But yeah, so fair play to them, that's what I think.
Part two, image.
Artists now have to consider their overall presence so much more.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, way back when it was just about pumping out new material. You get an interview on some big show, or maybe you star in a movie, you do something for publicity. But now it's like you're constantly under publicity. And I think that must be, like, I've thought about this, it must be so hard for the older people still in the game or still trying to release music, who are trying to keep up with everything going on. Because with these new younger artists, you know, we know our ways, excuse me, we know our ways around social media and such already. And we know, okay, yeah, people like seeing this. This is what's trending right now. So we can very easily kind of adapt to that lifestyle. But, you know, for someone who's been in the game for 50 years and they're trying to keep up with this new way of presenting themselves and trying to stay relevant all the time and not slipping up in what they're saying, it's a lot of pressure. And I think, you know, mental health has got to take a hit. It can't be easy trying to adjust to that way of life.
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's an adjustment we've all had to make, really, or we've been in the process of making, because social media is a very interesting phenomenon. And I don't think, at least people of our age and older, and probably younger as well, but as time goes on, people will be more engrossed in it. But like, as it stands now, it has a huge impact on mental health and stuff, because it's access to such a wide community. And we're designed to only have a few connections with a few people in this world, like our tribe, so to speak. If we're talking like anthropologically. But like, so yeah, it's just a very interesting thing where, like, so for instance, in the creative industries and stuff, and even just anything, you know, a business you run or whatever, small businesses and stuff, we have a big opportunity here to like put things out and establish content and establish presence. And it's an interesting kind of like, yeah, it's an interesting kind of business tool, I suppose. But at the same time, and just connecting with people, a way to connect to people, it's amazing for that. But what you get is this kind of deficit of, and this big kind of separation. What do you call it when you like go outside yourself? A disassociation, if you will, with reality, which because we work so hard to present a specific kind of reality, and that's what loads and loads of people are responding to. And we like segregate those things and we get absorbed into our phones. So I don't know, I think we've got to reframe the way we our perspective on it to some extent. I'm not sure how we do that. But at the minute it's kind of like it's a gray area. It's a toss up. It's almost 50% good, 50% bad with what social media brings to our lives.
I would say something I know that I've consciously been trying to do to counteract that, let me present this finely tuned, polished version of myself to the world, is to just try and be a little bit more honest. And I think by trying to present your most authentic self, it's at least like you don't get lost in this character you're trying to portray. It's still, I'm on social media and I'm managing to kind of maintain some degree of myself. And
yes,
that's kind of what I wanted this podcast to be in a way. It's a very much like, hey, let's just be really open and honest and talk about music that we like, which I think segues very nicely into us talking about your playlist, your 5-track playlist, which gets you through thick and thin. Let's talk about it.
Okay, cool. I'm just gonna get it up from my phone here. So I called it Breath Mint.
Very nice. Any relevancy behind that?
Well, I honestly just thought it sounded good, but essentially it's like, you know, it's refreshing. These are the songs that I kind of, they refresh me a bit. Like,
okay,
if any of them come up whilst I'm in the shower, for instance, it's a nice start to the day kind of thing.
It becomes a bit of a concert.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can't sing along to all of them, but I do find it's great to do a little bit of karaoke. Like,
definitely,
if there's any songs that you know all of the words of my heart to, just go for it. Forget that anyone's in the other rooms, unless of course they're asleep or whatever, and you need to be respectful. But if you've got a chance, just belt it out. And yeah, that's always a great thing for it. But the first song on the playlist is called Top Knot, and it's by Corner Shop. I can't sing along to it. it's in a different language entirely to English.
Okay. Do you know what language?
Oh, I wouldn't like to guess. I think it's a South Asian language. Okay. But it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, and you said earlier about the radio. I mean, I wish I was better at listening to the radio, because whenever I listen, I always get new songs from my playlists. Like, pretty much hands down every time, unless it's Radio 2, because I've been listening to Radio 2 in my family since I was born. So I'm very, like, I know all of, like,
you know, the culture,
70s, 80s,
yeah, 90s,
like, pop tracks, top 40s charts, my heart. But yeah, this came on, it was Radio 6 Music, which is, it's a BBC one, but it's only on digital. And it's like, I mean, they play all sorts, man. This song is a prime example. It's just, I don't even know what it is. If I bothered to do any research into it, I'm sure I'd find out. But it's kind of like, it's a different culture entirely, music.
Well, this is about what the song means to you. That's the important bit. Is what does this mean on a spiritual level? We don't need the facts and figures. Not important.
Okay, good. That's great. But it just came up and I thought, wow, this is awesome. And it's like, it's kind of, okay, I guess I relate a bit to like Indian classical music. It's got the vocal style is kind of related to that.
Okay.
And it was just something so completely different, and yet obviously grounded in musical convention and stuff. Mm. It was just really cool, and I latched onto it. I can't really pinpoint why. Mm. But it sort of gives me pause if I hear it, and I end up just thinking about the song. Mm. which I think is why I like it so much. That's good music, bro.
That's good music. Yeah. That's the good stuff.
Yes. Shall I go on with the playlist?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the next song,
mm-hmm.
It's a cover of was it, who did it originally? I can't actually remember who did it originally. Don't you wish you could.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Who did that originally?
Is it Britney Spears? Am I wrong in saying it's Britney Spears?
I'm literally just going to look it up.
Fact check it for me.
It's the Pussycat Dolls.
Pussycat. Oh my God, I should have known that. Oh, I'm going to get hate for that.
No, it's cool. I've done exactly the same thing before. Oh no, I know what it was. Me and Z were on Burst Radio, which is the University of Bristol radio station. Uh-huh. And I think we referenced Don't Cher or something, and we said it was the Sugar Babes.
Oh,
who did it? And then we got
live on
messages
air
in from, like, we had like 20 listeners. It was mad.
Oh,
and we got like 10 messages saying Pussycat Dolls, it's the Pussycat Dolls. It's like, oh shit, we're here and we're meant to know our music. And but yeah,
yeah. we can cut it, it's fine.
No, it's cool, it's a nice little research project.
Yeah.
But so yeah, Don't Cher, and it's a cover by The Naked Eye.
Okay.
Again, an artist I need to delve into more, but I follow them on Instagram, and they're pretty cool, kind of up and coming. So yeah, do go and send them some love.
Check them
the
out.
The Naked Eye.
The Naked Eye.
And it's just a really cool, yeah, reimagining of the song Don't Cher.
Mm.
And it's not like it makes it a little bit less kind of sensual, as it were, which isn't something I'm necessarily trying to avoid. I'm not, like, you know, really suppressed or whatever, but it's just a very kind of light, it's got a really nice rhythm to it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lovely arrangement, beautiful lead vocal from whatever the lead vocalist is called. Again, it's something I can't pinpoint, but it's just a very relaxing rendition of the song.
Mm.
And yeah, one that I just, if I'm walking around and it comes up, I'm like, oh, it's this song again.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like that. So that's cool, because I like how, obviously we haven't finished the playlist yet, but
mm-hmm.
the theme so far has very much been more, let me escape from these feelings, as opposed to a kind of, I was talking about this with another guest, and we were saying how the concept behind sad music is, this comforts me, and like, it's like someone else is going through this with me kind of vibe. But it's cool that this is more like a let me not wallow in this, let me use this music to channel a bit of an escape from those feelings, as opposed to let's just kind of sit in them for a bit, which is nice. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, at points, if I'm honest, like sometimes I do kind of go in for sad music, but I would say it's much rarer than me trying to find that escape in the music, because generally I feel like I'm fighting, if I'm feeling low or whatever, I'm struggling to kind of do stuff and act, and music that has an energy of positivity helps to bring that about, helps to kind of dislodge me from a rut, as it were. And it's probably something in me as well that, you know, everyone sort of does it sometimes, trying to restrict yourself from feeling too much every so often.
Yeah.
which isn't great, obviously. But
well,
I feel like the way my subconscious has interpreted that is really just kind of enjoy positive music that resets and refreshes my mindset. Yeah.
Well, it links very nicely to the title of your playlist, so I think that's great.
Thank you very
much. A lot of thought went into it. I appreciate that.
Part 3: Superhero.
When I made this playlist, it was pretty much as soon as you messaged me about doing this, because I was just really hyped about the idea of it. It's great. And I made this, and obviously, the songs we go to like change all the time and stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of just at the minute, I would say this is what I go to. The next song on the playlist, Hollywood Witches, I think that was my most played song of 2020.
Oh, wow.
Overall in my 2020 Wrapped thing.
Big shout out to the Witches.
Yeah, man. It's a really awesome track. Woody and Jeremy. So I don't know. Have you heard of a band called Wolfpack?
Oh, maybe in passing. I don't think I've given them a listen, but
I would highly recommend it if you.
Okay.
If you're into, they're funky. It's the main thing they are. They're funky, but they've got an air of whimsy.
Okay.
Great musicians, and also Jack Stratton, the producer, is a great recording artist. He's like very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this kind of like umbrella thing called Wolf Records.
Mm.
So like they all split off and do like solo things or like collaborate with other people outside of the band and stuff. And so Woody Goss is the keyboards player for Wolfpack. And he's got this buddy called Jeremy, who I know nothing about, but they came together to make this outfit called Woody and Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
And they released an EP. And I think it's called Too Hot in LA. And that's the title track, which is awesome as well. But Hollywood Witches is just so like, it's this kind of very laid back, kind of slow traipsing funk with this nice low bass riff and this lovely kind of vocal arrangement. This is a really cool song, and it makes me kind of imagine like, you know, films where they've got the credits at the opening of the film and it's like a character sort of walking along or on their way to somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, in transit on a train.
Yeah.
It just makes me imagine like I'm at the start of a film and like there's a camera following me and I'm just sort of plodding along. It's got this nice four to the floor beat just going on.
That's wonderful. That's really
cool.
Excellent. I think having it's such like a we've all had a moment where we're like you're on the bus somewhere and it's getting dark and you're looking out the window and you listen to music and you're like, I'm in a movie right now. I'm the main character. I'm this emotional sphere and the world is turning around me. That's such a cool, and like for it to be like a joyous thing like that, as opposed to emotional come down. I'm sad, but the world is focused on me. It's more like it's a bright moment where you just feel so euphoric that you feel like the world has to be looking at you, something like that. I don't know, that's really cool. I love that. That's a great emotion to have.
That is, yeah, I suppose it is kind of like that. I mean, it's a weird thing I do a lot actually, is kind of, but mostly I do it with like Marvel films. So, okay, this is gonna sound so stupid, but no, I imagine myself, I partly like in reality, I'm thinking, what if I got cast in the next Marvel Cinematic Universe film? So and so superhero. I'm like, whoa. And then I imagine, like, so I've gotten completely buff for this as well in my mind. Yeah. So I'm like at the peak of human condition. And I'm like, I don't know, just some Marvel superhero that fits my demographic description.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and I kind of like write the whole film in my head if I've just got a lot of thinking time. It's just a weird thing that I do. And so when I'm listening to music as well, I add those songs into the soundtrack in my mind's eye.
That's great. So do you have some kind of continuing series going on right now, or is it like a brand new movie every time?
Well, because I don't write it down or anything, I lose my place if I pick it back up again. So I end up just sort of writing the same arcs over and over again.
No harm in that.
I change the superhero and stuff every now and again, but it's one of those, again, it's kind of, it's something that imbibes positivity, I think. And it is something I try to do with the music, with the music I listen to. And it kind of adds to it. Like, if I can imagine myself as a superhero, which is kind of very hyperbolic, but it's a way to kind of, just establish a mind space that is positive, I suppose, contributes to it.
So what I really want to know is, do you have a superhero name?
Oh, well, I actually do a bit of internet research into, like, okay, so what films haven't they made?
Okay.
And then I look up superheroes that essentially blonde hair, blue eyes superheroes. The point is, I could actually, it's future planning.
It's like, feasible.
Could I actually play these people? to throw a few names out. There's one called Iron Fist. There's a series on Netflix about him, but he's really badass.
Cool.
This guy called Quasar, he's like the Green Lantern in that he creates like physical objects with his mind.
Dope.
And quite a few others. So yeah, that's how it works.
Nice.
There you go. I it's something I've done since I was obviously little, and I've never really stopped doing. Like, I used to like act it out, obviously, when I was a kid playing, but I never really lost it as like just a nice little pattern of thought that I do when I'm laying in bed and or whatever. Yeah, you know, I
think it's great.
It on this podcast.
No, it's yeah. I think everyone should do that. Let their creativity run a bit aloof. Why not?
Yeah.
Pretend you're a superhero for a bit.
There's no harm in it.
Yeah, exactly.
No harm whatsoever.
Once he was just an ordinary boy. Now he is defender of the universe. Look, there he goes now. Off to save the universe yet again.
The Woodland Warrior.